Good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Delaney, and in just a moment, Phil Rizzuto and Mel Allen will be bringing you today's doubleheader between the White Sox and the Chicago White Sox, as the Yankees have taken over first place, undisputed in the American League standings. Phil Rizzuto will have the starting lineups for you in just a matter of moments, as a big doubleheader is in tap for you today. The Yankees with the opportunity to really put themselves out in front. Now, here's Phil.
York Yankees, leading off and playing shortstop, Tony Kubek. Batting in the second position, playing left field, Hector Lopez. In center field, batting third, and really starting to hit again, is Mickey Mantle. And continuing the hits in real fine fashion, batting in the cleanup spot, playing right field, Roger Maris. Elston Howard will be doing the catching in the first of two here. Howard will be batting fifth. Bill Skarin, who had quite a day yesterday, will be at first base, hitting in the sixth position. Cletus Boyer, who seems to improve with every game, will be at third base, batting seventh. Bobby Richardson, continuing to play steady ball out at second base and getting those clutch base hits, will be playing second and batting eighth. And doing pitching and batting ninth is Jim Coates. For the White Sox, leading off playing shortstop, Louis Aparicio. At second base and batting second, Nellie Fox. Out in left field, hitting in the third position, Minnie Minoso. Roy Sievers will be the cleanup hitter and playing first base. Gene Freeze will be hitting fifth and will be playing third base. Out in right field, batting in the sixth position, Al Smith. Doing the catching and batting seventh, Sherman Lalla. Jim Landis will be out in center field, batting eighth. And doing the pitching and batting ninth, Bob Shaw. The umpires have not made their appearance for the feature attraction, or maybe the feature attraction was just presented. They had a game between the fathers and sons of the Chicago White Sox players, and it was really a barrel of fun. Little Billy Pierce, a year and a half old, toddled up to the plate, swung at the ball as his daddy was pitching against him. He just did tap it, and he ran down to first base and was exhausted by the time he got down there. He had to be taken out of the game. And little Louis Aparicio, who is just 3 years old and looks like quite a ball player, he'd get up every other time at bat, hit the ball, run around the bases, and slide home. Kirk Lown had three of his sons here. Frank Bauman had two of his. Sherman Lalla, two of his. Billy Pierce had two. And all in all, it was a lot of fun. And the fans got a big kick out of it. As a matter of fact, the White Sox youngsters were attired in similar uniforms that their dads wear, with the names and numbers on the back. And this capacity crowd got a big charge out of it. They played about 25 minutes, and the youngsters won 21-0. Of course, the dads had to make them look good, this being Father's Day. And may we wish all you fathers a very happy Father's Day, and many more to come. But if they didn't let their kids look good today, they certainly heard about it from Mother when they got home tonight. The umpires have finally made their appearance at home plate. And calling balls and strikes will be Cal Drummond. At first base, Charlie Berry. At second base, Larry Knapp. And over at third, Frank Yuma. Stengel and Al Lopez are talking things over at home plate. Must be quite a crowd out at the gates yet. This park is just about full, and they're standing in every available spot. Way out in the center field bleachers. That's the most we've seen that field this year, and they're standing on the railings and the walkways leading from the left center field bleachers over to the right center field bleachers alongside the scoreboard. All right, the umpires break up the huddle at home plate. And while the starting pitchers are still loosening up, let's take a look at the standings. The Yankees are now in first place by 2 percentage points, though they trailed Baltimore by a half a game. And that's because the Yankees have won fewer games than Baltimore and lost fewer games than the Orioles. Cleveland, a game and a half behind the Yankees. Detroit, 3 out. The White Sox, 3.5. Washington, 8. Kansas City, 10.5. And Boston, 13. There go the White Sox out on the field. In yesterday's action, the Yankees defeated the White Sox 12-5. Detroit over Baltimore 5-3, Cleveland 2, the Red Sox 1, and last night the Senators 7, Kansas City 2. And right now we'll have our national anthem. The American League quickly in the National League. The Pirates remain four games ahead of the Giants. Milwaukee 4.5 out. Cardinals 8.5. Cincinnati 10. Los Angeles 11. Cubs 11.5. And Philadelphia 17. Pittsburgh defeated the Dodgers again last night 4-3. Cincinnati 7. Chicago 1. Milwaukee shut out St. Louis 5-0. And the Giants defeated Philadelphia 7-4. So that's the way things stand. With Bob Shaw out on the mound. Out on the mound. He's 1-5 and lost 6 this year. He's 0-1 against the Yankees. His lifetime record against New York, 3 wins and 1 defeat. His lifetime record in the big leagues, 28 wins, 17 defeats. Shaw has dropped 2 in a row.
Thank you.
And the youngster who had such a sensational year last year for the White Sox, along with early win, just can't seem to find his winning ways. Pitching against a red-hot club, the Yankees have won 11 of their last 13 games. And the Yankees have won 5 straight from the Chicago White Sox after losing their first 4 of the season to the Chi Sox. Tony Kubek standing alongside home plate watching Bob Shaw loosen up. Came a few minutes late getting underway because of the big crowd. They're storming the gates trying to get in. And now Tony Kubek steps into the batter's box. Ready to face Bob Shaw. Big doubleheader today. Kubek's batting 272. 12 doubles, 3 triples, 5 homers, and 25 runs batted in. Frank Grissetti is down coaching at third. Ralph Houk at first. Here's the windup, and the first pitch of the ball game is swung at and missed, strike one. On deck is Hector Lopez. Bob Shaw, by the way, was born in the Bronx, right in the shadows of Yankee Stadium. He's 6'2 and 195 pounds. One strike pitch, curveball swung at and missed, strike two. White Sox have Minoso in left, Landis in center, and Al Smith in right field. Gene Freeze, Louis Aparicio, Nellie Fox, Roy Stevens in the infield, Sherman Alekhine, Bob Shaw pitching, and the curve is hit on the ground to the second baseman. Nellie Fox to Stevens, and it's one away. Bob Shaw dove for that ball, landed in the dirt, but couldn't quite reach it. Was not hit too hard. Kubek bounces out to second, and here's Hector Lopez. Hector, who ended yesterday's game with 3 consecutive base hits, is up to 308 again. 2 doubles, 2 triples, 3 homers and 10 runs batted in. And on deck, Mickey Mantle. Here's the first pitch to Lopez, high inside, ball one. Beautiful day for a ball game. Weather-wise, the sky is just as blue and as clear as it can be. As we told you before, the only thing is that the wind is blowing straight in. Here's Shaw's 1-0 pitch. It's accidentally hit on the ground at third. Gene Freeze is up with it. Over to Stevens, and it's two away. As Hector Lopez tried to check his swing, the ball hit the end of the bat. An easy chance for Gene Freeze. Two up and two down. And here's Mickey Mantle. he wins the meter test, whatever meter you're using, he gets the loudest noise. Here's the first pitch to Mantle. It's in for a call strike. Mickey, batting 269, has six doubles, three triples, 14 homers, and 29 runs batted in. Mantle batting left-handed against Bob Shaw. Pitch inside, ball one, 1-1. Last year, Shaw won 18 and lost 6 with a 2.69 earned run average. Here's the windup by the right-hander. Pitch is hit high in the air to short right center field. Jim Landis moving in, still coming in, and makes the catch. And you could see the sun shining on Landis' glasses as he came in for that high fly. The Yankees get down 1-2-3 in the top of the first inning, and the score at the end of one half inning of play, the Yankees nothing, and the White Sox coming to bat.
Well, Mr. Thompson, we found the trouble. Your carburetor is dirty. Look.
You mean that little bit was enough to do it?
That's right. Because of the close clearance in the carburetor, just a small amount of deposit can cause the throttle plate to feed the wrong mixture of air and gasoline. So your engine stalls a lot, idles rough, and wastes gasoline.
But what causes that deposit? You know I take good care of my car.
It's not your fault. You see, exhaust fumes and other stuff in the air get by your air cleaner and build up in your carburetor.
Well, isn't there any way I can prevent these deposits?
There is now. Just start using Atlantic Imperial gasoline.
Atlantic Imperial? Why?
Well, it's because the Atlantic Imperial they make today will actually clean out your carburetor and keep it clean while you drive.
You mean I won't have to spend money to have my carburetor cleaned again?
No, sir. Atlantic Imperial gasoline is all you need to keep your carburetor clean. Try it.
Okay, Bill, you sold me. My next tank full is Atlantic Imperial.
Coates has won 7 and lost none. He's 1-0 against the White Sox, and his lifetime record against Chicago, 2 wins and no defeats. His lifetime mark in the big leagues, 13 wins and 1 defeat. And Coates has won his last 11 ball games, 4 at the end of last year and 7 at the start of this year. Coates beat Chicago 5-2 back on June the 7th in New York, giving up only 4 hits. And here's Louis Aparicio, batting 249, has 6 doubles, 4 triples, 15 runs batted in, and 16 stolen bases. Tony Cuccinello coaching at third. Don Gutteridge down at first. On deck, Nellie Fox. Mantle playing a shallow center field. Here's the windup by Coates. The pitch to Louis is high inside, ball one. Big Jim Coates swings into the windup. Pitch is inside, ball two, 2-0. White Sox have lost 5 more games than the Yankees. That all-important loss column. A 2-0 pitch. Inside, ball three. And the Yankees would rather keep Aparicio off the base than any other player on the White Sox team. Of course, as Bill Veeck says, every time he gets a walk, it's almost an automatic double, because of his ability to steal second base. A 3-0 pitch. Inside, ball four. Aparicio walks on 4 straight pitches. And you'll hear the crowd now urging Louis to go, go, go. Nellie Fox, the batter. Nellie batting 276. 10 doubles, 6 triples, 27 runs batted in. No score here in the bottom of the first. First game of a big doubleheader. The Yankees and the White Sox. On deck is Manny Minoso. Scarron holding first against Aparicio. Here's the stretch. Quick throw to first, Aparicio back. Louis gets a big lead, but he seems to get back so easily to first base. Very little effort. And yet he takes about the biggest lead of anybody in the American League. Again, the stretch by Coates. Throw to first, Aparicio back again. And boy, he was ready to go. Now he can change in midair. It looks like he's leaning, ready to go to second. Coates throws to first, and he's back in plenty of time. Here's the stretch. The pitch is taken, strike one. Louis was not going that time. He just bluffed going, and Howard jumped out from in back of home plate. Cletus Boyer playing way in at third base. The Yankee outfield very shallow and straight away on Fox. Hector Lopez out in left field playing Fox like a right-hand full hitter. Now he can slap the ball that way. Coach stretches. The pitch is a pitch out, and Aparicio is not going. And that's what makes Louis even more dangerous. The fact that everybody is on the alert for a possible steal. He's got the pitcher worrying about him stealing second, and so he can't concentrate quite as much on the hitter. He's got the catcher worrying. The third baseman looking for Fox to bunt. And, of course, the shortstop and second baseman, whoever's going to take the throw. Here's the stretch. He almost started, and then Coach stepped off the mound. Boy, it looked like he might have had Aparicio that time. Louis took one step towards second, and Coach stepped back off the mound. 1-1 the count. Nobody out. Quick throw to first, but Aparicio is standing on the bag. So you can see how much he's bothering Jim Coach. All right, Fox steps back in the batter's box, choking way up on that bat. Here's a stretch. The pitch, there he goes. The ball is hit. Kubek bobbles the ball, has to go to first base in time for the out. And that was a hit and run. It was not simply a steal. And Fox lined the ball on one short hop to Kubek. Tony blocked it nicely. It dropped at his feet. Aparicio easily safe at second, but the throw to first retired Fox. And Louis did not have a real good jump that time. But he's at second base with one out. Here's Minnie Minoso. Minoso batting 305, 10 doubles, 2 triples, 7 homers, 38 runs batted in. And Minnie's got himself 9 stolen bases. Here's a stretch by Coach. A look at Aparicio, and time is called. Coach took a little too much time, and Coach had actually taken his step and was ready to release the ball when he saw Charlie Berry, the plate, rather Cal Drummond, with his hands up in the air, and he stopped short. Sometimes a pitcher can hurt his arm doing that just as he's ready to throw, stop in the middle of it. Pitch to Minnie is swung at it. Missed, strike one, and Minoso goes down on one knee. On deck, Roy Sievers. Again, Coast stretches. Makes Aparicio stop off second. The pitch, strike two, is swing and a miss. Walked out towards the mound, fires the ball back to Coach. Nothing in two on Minnie Minoso. One out here on the bottom of the first, no score. Minoso 5'11, 175 pounds. Here's the stretch. Pitch is strike three, swinging. Minoso went down on three pitches as Coach registers his first strikeout. And that'll bring up Roy Sievers with two outs. Sievers batting 239, has 5 doubles, 6 homers, and 24 runs batted in. Sievers, who was acquired from the Washington Senators, just starting to hit the long ball for the Sox. Pitch is in there. Strike one called. Fastball down the middle. On deck, Gene Freeze. Aparicio at second base. Open the bottom of the first with a walk. Coach sets. Pitch is in there. Strike two called. And Sievers took another fastball down the middle. And you know he was looking for something else. Very seldom you see Sievers take even one down the middle unless he's guessing, and he sure was guessing for breaking stuff and took two fastballs. All right, Coach, way ahead of the batter, nothing in two. pitch is another fastball, strike three, swinging. So Jim Coates, after walking Aparicio, settled down. For the White Sox in the bottom of the first, no runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, one man left. The score at the end of one full inning, the Yankees nothing and the White Sox nothing. Now let's take a run down to the scoreboard. In the American League, Boston is leading Cleveland 3-1, and those Red Sox are giving the Indians trouble. Mon Boquet against Perry. Frank Mao's zone home in the fourth with nobody on for the Red Sox. They're playing a doubleheader. Baltimore at Detroit for two. In the top of the first, the Orioles fail to score. Detroit batting. Wilhelm against Bunny. Washington is at Kansas City for a single game, and that will start later on. In the National League, Chicago at Cincinnati for two. In the first game, it's nothing-nothing at the end of 2.5. Hobby against O'Toole. St. Louis at Milwaukee for two. The Cards fail to score on the top of the first. Simmons against Spahn. Pittsburgh at Los Angeles. Philadelphia at San Francisco. Single games, and they start later on. The Yankees have an off day tomorrow before they play Tuesday night in Detroit. And we'll be on the air from Detroit at 9:10 p.m. We'll also have a night game on Wednesday the 22nd and a day game on Thursday the 23rd. Then the Yankees go to Cleveland for a big weekend series Friday night the 24th, Saturday afternoon the 25th, and a big doubleheader Sunday the 26th. After the doubleheader in Cleveland, the Yankees come home to face the Los Angeles Dodgers, last year's world champion Dodgers. That'll be Monday night, June the 27th, in the Benefit Sandlot game at Yankee Stadium. And that's one we'd like to see as many of you folks make as possible, because the money will be used to benefit the Sandlot baseball program in New York. All right, here's Roger Maris leading off for the Yankees in the top of the second. Shaw's pitch is taken low, ball one. Overhand curve ball. Maris batting 346, has 15 doubles, 2 triples, 19 homers, and 48 runs batted in. On deck, Elston Howard. 1-0 pitch is popped in the air in front of the plate. And Gene Freese is coming in from third and makes the catch. It was a tough play for Sherm Lala as the ball was in fair territory and drifting a little bit out towards the mound. Much easier for the third baseman to come in and make the play. And that's what Freese did. Maris pops out to the third baseman. Here's Elston Howard, batting 273. Ellie has 7 doubles, 3 triples, 5 homers, and 25 runs batted in. No score, top of the second. Pitch to Howard. In there, strike one call. On deck, Bill Scarron. Fastball a little high, ball one, 1-1. Manoso in left and Landis in center playing deep for Howard. Al Smith not too deep in right field. Fastball hit into right center field. Landis chasing it, and he makes a running catch in deep right center field. Just when it looked like Landis wouldn't be able to catch up to that ball, he put on a little extra burst of speed and made a fine running catch, taking an extra base hit away from Howard. That ball was in there for at least a triple, or so it looked. Landis covered a lot of ground that time. Here's Bill Scarron, the Moose, batting 299. Shaw's first pitch is inside and low, ball one. Scarron has 17 doubles, 1 triple, 8 homers, 43 runs batted in. Strike one as he swings and misses a low inside fastball. 2 men are out, nobody on, top of the second. No score in the ball game. The pitch is low inside, ball two, 2-1. Once again, the White Sox pitchers are trying to crowd Scarron. They have not had any success pitching him away, so they're trying to pitch in on his fist. Pitch is lined right at the third baseman. Moose hit that ball right on the nose. Gene Freese made a nice play. And the Yankees again go down in 1-2-3 order here in the top of the second. Nothing across. The score at the end of an inning and a half. The Yankees nothing and the White Sox nothing.
You know, at a traffic light, you can often tell if your car isn't performing up to par. Maybe it stalls frequently, or idles rough, or possibly doesn't have any pickup when the light changes. Well, this could mean a dirty carburetor, something that can happen to any car, old or new. Exhaust fumes and other air contaminants get by your air cleaner, you see, and build up as deposits inside the carburetor of your car. And these troublesome deposits can cause an improper mixture of air and gasoline. The result is rough performance and actual gasoline waste. But thanks to New Atlantic Imperial Gasoline, you can now keep your carburetor clean without even raising the hood. Atlantic Imperial cleans your carburetor as you drive, doing a complete job in just a few thousand miles. So, to end stalling, rough idling, and gasoline waste due to a dirty carburetor, use Atlantic Imperial. It's the gasoline that cleans your carburetor and keeps it clean.
In the bottom of the second inning, Gene Freeze, the third baseman, leading off for the White Sox. No score. Bob Shaw retired the first six Yankees that he faced. Yankees got the White Sox got one runner on base in the first inning, a walk to Aparicio. Louie advanced to second, but couldn't go any further. Gene Freeze batting .259, seven doubles, one triple, five homers, and 23 runs batted in. Coach into the windup. The pitch to Freeze. Curve line. Foul. Boy, did he tomahawk that one. A high curve ball that he just chopped down on. Lined it over Boyer's head, but it was fouled by inches. Rolling deep in the left field corner. Coach goes to the rosin bag, gets himself a new baseball. Freeze, a right-hand hitter. Stands fairly deep in the box. Coach's pitch is way outside and high, ball one, 1-1. Another full house. Watch the Yankees and the White Sox. Friday night, they had a big crowd. Yesterday, a big crowd. Today, the biggest. There's a fly ball to right center field. Mantle digging to his left. And under it and makes the catch. One away. Mickey didn't have to run quite as far as Jim Landis. Ball was not hit quite as hard as the one Elston Howard hit. Here's Al Smith, the right fielder. Smitty didn't play yesterday. Gave him a day off. He's batting .319. That's the top average for any White Sox regular player. Has nine doubles, two triples, five homers, 32 runs batted in. Right-hand hitter with a short, powerful swing. He's not one of those free-swinging hitters. Pitch. Inside, just missed hitting him. Ball one. On deck, Sherman Lala. The lined up by Coach. The pitch, high inside, ball two. 2-0. See the crowd in Bill Veeck's picnic area underneath the left field stands. He's got screen out there and tables where the fans can eat and watch the ball game at the same time, going from the left field foul line to the bullpen in center field. Pitch is fouled back on the screen. Strike one. Two balls, one strike. It's a pretty day. We're broadcasting this game from a cage that hangs over the ballpark, just to the left of home plate. A little bit scary at that. The pitch, slow curve. He starts the bunt, draws his bat back in a tie. Ball three, 3-1. You know, Pappy, the more I think of it, this is just a little bitty cage, and there's a lot of people in it, and we're hanging out from the seats. Almost onto the field. 3-1 pitch. Inside, ball four. That's the second walk given up by Coates. It brings up Sherman Lalo, batting .264. Sherman has 16 doubles, 2 homers, and 19 runs batted in. Garin holding first against Smith. Smitty has 5 stolen bases. The White Sox are a running club, as everybody knows. On deck, Jim Landis. No score, bottom of the second. 1 out. Smith leads off first base. Here's the stretch by Coates. The pitch is lined right at Richardson. A throw back to first. Double play. Boy, a line drive by Sherman Lalo right at Bobby Richardson. And Al Smith could not get back in time as Bobby's throw to Scarron doubled him up. For the White Sox in the bottom of the second, no runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, nobody left. The score at the end of 2 full innings, the Yankees nothing and the White Sox nothing.
A clean carburetor gives smoother driving performance, so use new Atlantic Imperial, the gasoline that cleans your carburetor and keeps it clean.
We'll pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. 1 minute before 3.
Back here at Comiskey Park on Father's Day, all over the United States. One of its Father's Day all over, Pappy. I will have to get Pete Callison to check the record book. Anyway, in the top of the third inning for the Yankees, Cletus Boyer, Bobby Richardson, and Jim Coates will be facing Bob Shaw, as the Yankees have not had a man reach first base in the first 2 innings. Boyer is batting .259, 6 doubles, 2 homers, 10 runs batted in. So over half of Boyer's total of hits are extra base hits. He has 15 base hits, 8 of them extra base hits. Shaw's pitch to Boyer is hit high in the air, deep to left field, but that ball is curving. Foul and way back in the left field corner. A long strike for Cletus Boyer. Boy, Cleet hit that high fast one. He's got the power. A one strike pitch. Strike call on the outside corner. An overhand curveball. Nothing in 2 on Boyle. On deck, Bobby Richardson. Al Smith playing a very shallow right field today with that wind blowing in. 2 strike pitches. Strike 3 went after a bad low outside curveball. And Bob Shaw gets his first strikeout of the ballgame. Here's Bobby Richardson. Bobby batting .214. 6 doubles, 1 homer, 8 runs batted in. Right hand to Bob Shaw, ready on the mound. It's pitched to Bobby. It's a curve low, ball one. Shaw's follow through is just about perfect. He ends up with his feet parallel and his hands in front of him, ready to field anything hit back through the box. The curve outside, ball 2-0. Richardson takes a short glance down at Frank Frassetti, Yankee third base coach. Here's a 2-0 pitch. Bobby lines it right at the third baseman. Man, and that Freeze was lucky to hold on to that one. He was playing Richardson in, and Freeze didn't know what to do. He caught the ball, turned around, looked at Crosetti, and held both hands up in the air as if to say, what am I going to do? Got to get my glove up there to protect myself. A vicious line drive. He was playing Richardson in, looking for a possible bunt, and that's 2 line drives that Freeze has caught, and he's had a busy day already. Out of 8 chances, he has had 4 of them. 1 ground ball and 1 pop fly and 2 liners. That's 2 out, and here's Jim Coates, who's batting .304. Big Jim with 2 doubles. Swings a ground ball to first base. Seavers is up with it. Flips to Shaw, covering in time to get Coates. And Bob Shaw has retired the first 9 Yankees that he's faced. Nothing across for New York in the top of the third. The score at the end of 2.5 innings. The Yankees nothing and the White Sox nothing.
You know, sometimes the way your car performs can be downright embarrassing. Especially if it's been stalling frequently or idling rough or possibly doesn't have the get-up-and-go that you're accustomed to. Well, now, your trouble could be a dirty carburetor, a condition that can affect any car, old or new. You see, exhaust fumes and minute particles of dirt can get by your air cleaner, and they build up deposits inside along the lower carburetor wall. Now, even a small amount of these deposits can cause the throttle plate to feed the wrong mixture of air and gasoline to your engine. And you get rough performance and actual gasoline waste. But a dirty carburetor is one embarrassment you can forget about if you use new Atlantic Imperial gasoline. You see, Atlantic Imperial actually goes to work cleaning out the deposits in your carburetor as you drive. What's more, it keeps your carburetor clean, puts more pleasure back into driving. So, to end stalling, rough idling, and gasoline waste due to a dirty carburetor, use Atlantic Imperial. The gasoline that cleans your carburetor and keeps it clean.
Neither team has a base hit. The White Sox have had two men reach first base. Aparicio walked in the first, Smith in the second. They're the only two base runners of the ball game. Steps into the batter's box. Batting 223. Swings in a liner right at Cletus Boyer in third baseman to get in a workout today. A solid liner. Boyer hardly had a move. And that's why they say baseball is a game of inches. Inches to the right or the left, he's got a base hit. Right at Boyer. One away. Here's Bob Shaw. Batting 083. He's 2-for-24. Has one RBI. Right-hand hitter. Nothing, nothing. Bottom of the third. Pitch to Shaw as a strike on the outside corner. Shaw pounds his bat down on home plate. Wind up by Coates. Curve, low outside, ball one. 1-1. Yogi Berra resting this first game. Probably catch the second. Here's the 1-1 delivery. It swung at and missed, strike two. One ball, two strikes. Ready again. Kicks, delivers, sidearm curve, pop to Scarron at first base in foul territory. The Moose makes a one-hand catch of that little soft, lazy pop fly. That's two outs. And here's Aparicio, who walked in the first inning. The White Sox have hit only one ball on the ground for Jim Coates. That was Nellie Fox in the first inning. And that was a line drive that landed right at the feet of Kubek. That's Coach's pattern of pitching, though. He pitches high and fast, and they get under the ball. Here's the first pitch to Aparicio. Curve over, strike one called. Ready for the one-strike pitch to Louis. Sidearm fastball foul down the right field line, back into the seats, out of play. Nothing in two on Aparicio. Louis' left wrist still bothering him. He hurt it some time back, played in New York with it completely taped. But the tape is off now. We noticed yesterday when he'd swing at certain pitches, it would hurt him and he'd have to wait. All right, the two-strike pitch. Oh, a wild pitch over Aparicio's head, back against the screen. And Louis sitting on the ground, getting up very slowly. Looking out at Jim Coates. With A nothing and two count on Aparicio. Coach threw one in back of his head. Fast Howard, it hit the screen on a fly. One ball, two strikes. Here's the windup. Pitch is popped in the air. Cletus Boyer, the third baseman, moving under it, shading his eyes, but the sunglasses down and makes the catch. Boy, that sun is bright. For the White Sox in the bottom of the third. No runs, no hits, no Yankee errors. Nobody left. The score at the end of three, four innings. The Yankees, nothing, and the White Sox, nothing. And I mean nothing but goose eggs up there in the runs, the hits, and the error column. Goose eggs. On the scoreboard now, at the end of six innings in the first of two, Boston 3, Cleveland 1. Mon Bouquet against Perry. Malzone homing in the fourth with nobody on. Baltimore 1, Detroit nothing at the end of two. Wilhelm against Funny. That's the first of two. Washington at Kansas City, a single game they play tonight. Chicago at Cincinnati for two in the first game. Nothing at the end of three and a half. Hobby against O'Toole. St. Louis is at Milwaukee for two. At the end of an inning and a half, it's nothing. Simmons against Spahn. Pittsburgh at Los Angeles, Philadelphia at Cincinnati, rather at San Francisco in single games, and they'll start later on. Tony Kubek takes a curve outside, ball one. Tony bounced to second base in the first inning. Up for a second look at Bob Shaw. First nine Yankees went down in a row without anybody reaching first. Nothing in the top of the fourth. Pitch is high outside, ball two, 2-0. Swings into the windup. Fastball low inside, ball three. 3-0 on Kubek. First time that Shaw has been behind on any Yankee hitter. 3-0 pitch. Strike call. He laid that one right down the middle. Figured that Kubek was taking on a 3-0 pitch. Pacetti flashes some signs at Kubek. Here's a 3-1 delivery. Strike two call. Full count. 3-2. Ready now for the payoff. Pitch to Kubek. A ground ball to second base. Nelly Fox to his left. Up with it. Over to Seavers in time to get Kubek. So after falling behind 3-0, Shaw came in there with three straight fastballs over the plate. And for the second time and two times at bat, Kubek bounced out to Fox. Pitch to Hector. It's a strike call. Fastball down the middle. Strike pitch, high outside, ball one, 1-1. Nice and warm in the sun. The people who are sitting in the sun have their jackets off. But in the shade, it's mighty cool. The 1-1 pitch, outside, ball two, 2-1. Up by Shaw. The pitch is hit foul outside of third. Pass Crescetti down the left field line. 2-2 the count. One out, nobody on. Yankees nothing and the White Sox nothing in the top of the fourth. The 2-2 pitch is a curve just outside, ball three. Another 3-2 count. Mickey Mantle on deck, taking a few practice swings in the on-deck circle. Once again, we have a payoff pitch. This one to Lopez. It's strike three. He dropped the ball. It was a foul tip. Lala had it in his glove and then dropped the ball. It was a tough play for Cal Drummond to see. He had to walk around in front of Lala, saw the ball on the ground. But had he not seen it, one of the other umpires would have called it. Again, the 3-2 pitch. Strike three, swinging this time. Shaw gets his second strike out of the ball game. And here's Mickey Mantle, who flied out to center field in the first inning. Two out, nobody on. A pitch to Mantle. High inside, ball one. Deck, Roger Maris. The 1-0 pitch, low inside, ball two, 2-0. Temperature is 72 degrees right now, and the humidity 36%. That's got to be right in the sun. 2-0 pitch outside corner. Strike one called. Two balls, one strike on Mantle. The 2-1 pitch, low outside, ball three. 3-1. A 3-1 delivery. A foul back out of play. And that landed right alongside of a little youngster with a White Sox cap on. Fortunately, didn't hit him. Hit the step and bounced back on the playing field. 3-2. The payoff pitch high outside, and there's the first Yankee base runner of the day, Mickey Mantle. Gets the first walk given up by Bob Shaw. And walks have been mighty costly to the White Sox pitchers in this series so far. Roger Maris, who popped out to third base in the second inning, the batter. Nellie Fox comes in to talk with Bob Shaw. Digging in at home plate. Quick throw to first, and Mantle, who just started to step off, hustles back. Mickey was just getting ready to take his lead when Shaw threw over there. All right, here's the stretch. Quick throw to first, and Mickey had to dive back head first. It was a good move by Shaw that time. All right, Mickey dusting himself off. Still hasn't made a pitch to Maris. Here's the stretch. The pitch is strike one, a swing and a miss. Quick throw to first, Mantle back with two out and no score in the ball game. Shaw worrying about Mantle. Here's a stretch. Mickey ready to go. Throw to first, and he's safe. Just, oh, man, was that close. And Stevens and Shaw are arguing. They had Mickey between jumps. He was hopping, trying to get a good jump. It looked like he was ready to go to second. And Shaw fired the ball over there. Well, Mickey's feet were off the ground. Mick had to dive back head first, and it was close. One strike on Maris. Pitch is strike two called. And there are times when a runner taking a big lead and having the pitcher throw over there will bother the batter a lot. Plus, it's tough for Maris to get set. You don't know whether he's going to go to first base or pitch. Nothing in two to count. Sure stretches. Pitch is way outside, ball one. a stretch by Shaw. Pitch is hit on a ground foul outside of first base, rolling down the right field line. One ball, two strikes. By Shaw. Pitch is a ground ball backhanded by Stevens. Turns around, steps on first. That's all for the Yankees. And the top of the fourth, no runs, no hits, no White Sox errors. One man left to score at the end of three and a half innings. The Yankees nothing and the White Sox nothing.
Buenos dias, senor. You are El Atlantic dealer?
Yes, sir. I'm an Atlantic dealer. Can I help you?
I am Luis San Domingo Cordova, greatest bullfighter in all the world. But never have I known a bull to snort like this automobile.
Snort, huh? What make of car is it?
Taurus.
Well, maybe Taurus. Maybe your car has a dirty carburetor.
El carburador, senor?
Yes. When a carburetor gets dirty, it can cause rough engine performance and waste gasoline.
Muy malo, senor.
But now we can fix that with Atlantic Imperial gasoline. It cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean.
Muy bueno, senor. And this Atlantic Imperial, it works fast?
Fast as you can say ole. Like to try it?
Si. It is time to take the bull by the horn. Ah, the car's performance is almost as smooth as one of my own. If this were a bull, I would award Atlantic both ears and the tail. Atlantic keeps the car on the go.
Just a quick reminder, we were telling you about the All-Star ticket orders. They must be accompanied by a certified check, banker's cashier check, United States money order, Western Union money order, or express money order, and made payable to the New York Yankees. 75 cents must be added to each total order for mailing and registering charges. All right, Nellie Fox, who bounced out to the shortstop in the first inning. Leading off. No score here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Fox leads the league in triples with six. And that's as many as he had all last year. Coach's pitch is hit in a straightaway center field. Mantle moving back under it and makes the catch. Fox got a little better wood on the ball than Mickey had figured. He had to go back a little quicker at the end. Mantle likes to play Fox shallow, but you will take more hits away from him that way than playing him deep. One away, here's Minnie Minoto, who struck out in the first inning. Minoto, who has hit safely in 17 of the last 22 games. Pitch to Minoto, strike one call. Lined up by Coates. Slow curve, foul on the third baseline, strike one. That's the first ball that Minoso has hit off Coates. He struck out, missed three pitches in the first inning. Nothing in two, one out, nobody on. No score, bottom of the fourth. First game of a doubleheader. Sidearm curve, and Minoso has to hit the dirt. Boy, he really went down. Vinny likes to step in on a pitch, and his coach came sidearm. His curveball didn't break. And Minoso flattened out on the ground. You think he was jumping in a foxhole. Minoso usually leads the league in getting hit with pitch balls every year because of his unusual stance. He's right over the plate. There's a drive to deep left field, way back there. Lopez back, and it's a home run for Minoso. And you hear the crowd. There they go again. Oh. Now I'd like. like to find a foxhole and jump in it, I'll tell you. The White Sox lead 1-0 as Minoso hits his 8th home of the year and his 39th run batted in. Here's Roy Sievers, who struck out in the first inning. Sievers takes a pitch high, ball one. You know, there are some batters who you throw close to and knock them down, and they're not dangerous at the plate. There are other batters who get a little mad when you throw at them or come close to them. And Minoso happens to be one of those players. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Sievers. Inside, ball two, 2-0. The White Sox lead 1-0. There was a delayed action firecracker. Scoreboard is a fascinating thing. The 2-0 pitch is pop foul back out of play. Two and one on Roy Sievers. Low, outside, ball three, 3-1. Gene Freeze on deck. Here's a 3-1 pitch, a high foul. Coming back on the roof and out of play. Count on Roy Sievers. One out, nobody on. Bottom of the fourth. White Sox one, the Yankees nothing. Jim Coates swings into the windup. The payoff pitch to Sievers is a line drive right at Boy, a backhand catch. Boy, the third baseman are really getting a workout today. Nothing but line drives down that way. That took a double away from Sievers. Boyle with those quick, sure hands backhanded the ball. Here's Gene Freeze, who lined out to center field in the second inning. Two-way. Al Smith. First pitch to Freeze is low, ball one. The 1-0 pitch, low curve, foul back on the screen, strike one, 1-1. Wind up by Coates. 1-1 delivery. Change up hit deep to left field. Way back there. And that ball curved foul and back into the stands. It was plenty far enough to have been a home run. But it just curved foul, I'd say no more than 5 or 6 feet from the left field foul line. Coates tried to change up on Freeze. But Gene double hitched and really got the good wood on it. One ball, two strikes, and two outs. All set. His pitch is lined deep to center field. Nettle going back and makes the catch way deep in center field. And that was a line drive hit about 400 feet. For the White Sox in the bottom of the fourth, one run on one hit. The homer by Minoso, which is the only hit in the ballgame, by the way. No Yankee errors, nobody left the score at the end of four full innings. The White Sox won, the Yankees nothing, and we pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is WOKO, Albany, New York. Time on the WOKO clock is now 3:30.
Now, I'd like to mention that the second half of this game is being brought to you by the crisp, refresher Ballantine beer. You know, Ballantine is a light beer with true lager flavor, and that's what makes it the crisp refresher. On the scoreboard, Boston now leading Cleveland 6-1 at the end of seven. Mal Zone homing in the fourth, and Ted Williams got his 501st home run in the seventh with two on. Man, that Williams is rolling. Baltimore 1, Detroit nothing at the end of 3.5. Washington and Kansas City has not started. In the National League, Cubs 1, Cincinnati 1 at the end of 4.5. St. Louis nothing, Milwaukee nothing at the end of 3.5. And Pittsburgh at Los Angeles and Philadelphia at San Francisco have not started as yet. So lots of activity in both leagues today. We've got quite a ball game going here at Comiskey Park in the first of two. Real pitcher's battle between Bob Shaw and Jim Coates. Elston Howard, who flied deep to right center field in the second inning. Jim Landis had to make a fine running play. Ready to pitch to Howard is high ball one. On deck, Bill Scarra. Nothing pitches hit on the ground at third. Freeze makes a nice play. The throw to first is, oh, what a bad throw that was. Howard starts the second. The throw back, and Howard's back in time. And I don't know what Gene Freeze did there. He took too much time getting rid of that ball. He made a nice play on a hard hit ground ball to his right, but then he took the ball, looked at it, I guess to make sure it was an American League ball, and then fired about 10 feet over Roy Seaver's head. It hit the little wire fence that surrounds the tarpaulin in back of first base. Howard rounded the bag, but then hustled back. It's an error charged to Gene Freeze. See, he took a lot of time with that ball. He could have gotten rid of that seconds before he did. All right, here's Bill Scarron, who lined the third. Pitch to the Moose. The line base hit the left field. Howard around second, and he holds on as Scarron really... Buggy whipped a high fastball. Boy, did he chop down on that one. And lined a single to left. The first hit off Bob Shaw. And now each team has one base hit. The Yankees threatening with runners at first and second and nobody out. Cletus Boyer, who struck out in the third inning, the batter. Bob Shaw and Gene Freeze talking over how they're going to play this bunt, if Boyer does bunt. So the error by Freeze on Howard's ground ball got Shaw in a jam here in the top of the fifth inning. Seavers is in at first. Freeze is in at third. Aparicio playing close to second, and Fox is in at second base. Very unusual defensive alignment for the White Sox. Any kind of a hard hit ground ball will be a base hit. It has to be right at somebody. Boy, they're all moving. Here's the stretch. The pitch is bunted out and missed, and Aparicio was breaking a third, and if he had been breaking a second, they might have gotten Howard, who was leaning towards third base. Boy, a bunted at the ball and missed it, and when you're on second base, you automatically make a couple of steps towards third. Look at Fox creeping in back of Howard, and Howard jumping back to the bag, but Shaw wasn't even looking back at Nelly. Runners at first and second and nobody out, and the White Sox leading the Yankees 1-0. Sets. Pitch to Boyer. It hit him. It hit him on a left elbow. And don't think that doesn't hurt. But Shaw, who was ahead of the hitter, is really in trouble now with the bases loaded and nobody out. That ball hit Boyer right in back of the left elbow, and there is a rough spot to be hit. You think that doesn't hurt? Man, I've been hit there, and you get sick all over. Your stomach feels like it's upset, and it just aches. You don't know what to do. You can't touch it. And you hate to move it, it'll be all right in a little bit. Joe Soares, the Yankee trainer, taking over for Gus Marsh, who we're happy to say is recuperating back in New York, putting some ethyl chloride on the arm to numb the pain a little bit. That's Boyer on the back, and Boyer goes down to first. And the bases are loaded with nobody out. Here in the top of the fifth inning, the White Sox leading 1-0. And the batter, Bobby Richardson, who lined a third in the third inning. Let's see how the White Sox are going to play. This Boyer is still swinging that left arm back and forth at first base, talking with Ralph Houser. Shaw just warms up with Chairman Lala. And that will be painful tomorrow for Cletus Boyer. Even in bed tonight, that's going to be rough. Just rolling around. Resting the elbow on the mattress hurts. Boy, that's a rough spot to get hit. Kirk Lown is loosening up in the White Sox bullpen with the bases loaded and nobody out. Sure, suddenly lost his control. Here's the windup, the pitch to Richardson. High ball one. Sure had retired the first 11 back batties that he faced before Mantle walked in the fourth. But here in the fifth, an error, a single, and a hit batsman. There's a ground ball, base hit to left field. Here comes Howard. And here comes Scarron. The throw is in the third. And he's safe at third, and the runner goes to second. Staley Kirk Lown loosening up in the bullpen. Bobby Richardson lined a single to left field between third and short, driving in two runs. And on Minoso's throw to third base, Aparicio was not back far enough. Boyer slid in safely, and on the throw in the third, Richardson went to second base. Here's Jim Coates. The Yankees now lead 2-1. The infield's in for a possible play at the plate. The pitch to Coates is a ground ball through Shaw's leg to base hit. Here comes Boyer. Here comes Richardson. And the Yankees lead 4-1. Jim Coates hit a ground ball right between Bob Shaw's legs. It hit the pitching rubber and bounded over Aparicio's outstretched glove in a short center field, driving in Cletus Boyer and Bobby Richardson, and the Yankees take a 4-1 lead. So Jim Coates, who has been hitting that ball real well this year, comes up with a timely base hit, putting his jacket on at first base. Still nobody out, and here comes Al Lopez. Here comes Senor Lopez. In this series, he has not been the gay senor that we know. Walking out to the mound. And he's looking out in the bullpen. And Lopez is signaling for the relief pitcher to come out of the bullpen. And it's Kirk Lown who will be coming on as Bob Shaw, who looked for a while that he might pitch a no-hitter. I mean, retiring the first 11 Yankees before giving up a walk. But the error by third baseman Gene Freeze here in the top of the fifth on Howard's ground ball got him in a jam. Scarron single. Boyer was hit by a pitch ball. And then Richardson and Coates delivered two-run singles. And Shaw is out of there. So Shaw has pitched a total of four innings, plus getting nobody out here in the top of the fifth. He has allowed just three base hits, all three of them coming here in the top of the fifth. He's walked one, struck out two, and has allowed four runs. Jim Coates down at first base, should he score, will be charged to Bob Shaw. Kirk Lown coming on is making his 21st appearance of the year. He's won one and lost none. All of them have been in relief in 36 innings of pitching, he's given up 18 hits, 8 runs, 8 of them earned, struck out 20, 16 base on balls. He has a 2.00 earned run average. Tony Kubek stepping into the batter's box. Tony has been up twice and twice bounced out to second base. Gene Freeze is way in at third base, and Sievers is holding first against Jim Cote. The Yankees lead 4-1. The stretch and the pitch to Kubek is popped foul and back out of play over the White Sox dugout. One strike on Kubek, who was trying to slap that ball past Gene Freeze. Dick Donovan is up in the White Sox bullpen. Here's a stretch by Lowndes. Pitch is bunted in front of the plate. Freeze goes to second. In time, Coach did not slide. Man, that's the third or fourth time this year that Jim Coach did not slide and was thrown out either at the plate or at third or at second. And, of course, it's tough on Kubek, remember. Even though Coach is a pitcher, it takes a sacrifice away from Kubek, and it's now a time at bat. So it's a force play. And it was a pretty good bunt, too. It had backspin on it. Play going from 5 to 6, the third baseman to the shortstop covering. Coates is out. Kubek is at first. Here's Hector Lopez, who bounced to third and struck out. You know, there are a lot of pitchers who figure they don't have to run and slide or hustle when they get on base. They just have to pitch. But you take some of the other pitchers, fellas like Spahn and Red Ruffing and Bert Death, they get on there just like another ball player. There goes Kubek. The ball is hit slowly down the first baseline. Lowndes up with it. Throws to Sievers in time to get Lopez. But Kubek moves down to second base. And that brings up Mickey Mantle. Mickey fly to center and walk. The stretch, and they're going to walk Mantle. They're going to walk Mantle and pitch to Maris. How do you like that? There's a switch. The way Maris has been going this year and the way Mantle has been going, you would think they'd rather pitch to Mantle than to Maris. But maybe the White Sox know how to pitch to Roger Maris. That is possible, you know. Some clubs can pitch better against certain hitters than other clubs. They know a weakness that the other club doesn't know about. So they walk Mantle intentionally. Brings up Roger Maris, who popped to third and bounced out to first base. Here's a fella that leads the American League in home runs. Here's the stretch. The pitch is popped in the air to the infield. Louis Aparicio, the shortstop, is moving in under it and makes the catch. So it looked like the White Sox brain trust knew what they were doing, walking Mantle and pitching to Maris. For the Yankees, though, in the top of the fifth, 4 runs on 3 hits. 1 White Sox error, 2 men left. The score at the end of 4.5 innings, the Yankees 4 and the White Sox 1.
To be crisp, a beer must be ice and light. With 2 lager flavors, precisely right. Lively, cold, and crystal clear, the crisp refresher.
Bottom of the fifth inning. It'll be Al Smith, Sherman Lawler, and Jim Landis. With the Yankees leading 4-1. All right, here's Al Smith, who walked in the second inning. Coach checking the sign from Elston High. Pitch is hit deep to straightaway center field. Mantle moving back and makes the catch, and that ball was hit on the nose. So the White Sox have been hitting the ball hard, but haven't been able to find the holes. brings up Sherm Lalo, who lined out to second base in the second inning. On deck is Jim Landis. One out, nobody on. Pitch to Lalo is taken high inside for a ball. Nothing pitch is hit on the ground in the hole and out to left field, a base hit. And Cletus Boyer dove through the air at that ball, just missed it. And Boyer got up, hustled over, took the cutoff throw from Lopez out at second base. Kid really bounces around. And there's the second base hit for the White Sox in the ballgame. The other one was a home run by Minoso in the fourth inning. It brings up Jim Landis, who lined out the third in the third inning. One away. First. Pitch to Landis, hit high in the air to left field, not too deep. Hector Lopez moving in under it and makes the catch. That's two ways. And the White Sox continue to hit Coates up in the air. And Joe Hicks is coming out to bat for Turk Lown. Dick Donovan continues to warm up in the White Sox bullpen. Hicks is batting 259, a left-hand hitter, 7 for 27. One double, two runs batted in. Lalo at first with two outs. Yankees leading 4-1. We're in the bottom of the fifth inning. Pitch to Hicks is a curve that's high, ball one. The White Sox have hit only one ground ball off Jim Coates. The rest have all been strikeouts and fly balls. The stretch, pitch, outside, ball two, 2-0. Stretch, the 2-0 pitch, strike call, fastball down the middle. Pitch is popped in the air in the back of third base. Boyer going back for it. Turns around now and makes the catch in foul territory. For the White Sox in the bottom of the fifth inning, no runs, one hit, no Yankee errors, one man left. The score at the end of five full innings. The Yankees 4, the White Sox 1. We have a new pitcher coming in for the White Sox. It's Dick Donovan. And while he's coming on, I'd like to take just a minute to tell you how the Yankees are going to make up their rained-out home dates with the Cleveland Indians. Now, there are three make-up dates. A night game on Thursday night, July 28th, which is an added game on the night schedule, a break for you fans. The Yankees in Cleveland will play a makeup doubleheader on Wednesday afternoon, July 27th, and a novel twi-night doubleheader commencing at 6 p.m. on Friday night, August the 26th. And this will be the first twi-nighter at Yankee Stadium in many, many a year. And now, you fans with the rain checks from last Sunday's rained-out doubleheader, you can send them in for exchange for any future game on the Yankee home schedule. But for excellent choice of seats, we suggest the new Cleveland night date of Thursday, July 27th, or any of the games on the important forthcoming homestand starting Tuesday night, June 28th, when the Kansas City Athletics open a short Western invasion of Yankee Stadium. Dick Donovan making his 16th appearance of the year. This is his ninth relief appearance of the year. He's won two and lost one, but his earned run average is 6.54. He has not been too effective. Turk Lown pitched just one inning Didn't give up any hits. Walked one. Didn't strike out anybody or allow any runs. All the four runs have been charged to Bob Shaw, who started. So Donovan will be facing Elston Howard, who led off the fifth inning for the Yankees. Tricky Dick Donovan out on the mound. Pitch to Howard is hit off home plate. It's a fair ball. Donovan waiting for it to come down. Throws to first in time to get Howard, and Ellie loses his helmet crossing first base. That ball hit right on top of home plate, went high up in the air, and you could see Donovan trying to stretch up and grab it. It took so long to come down, but it came down in time for him to throw to first to retire Howard. One away. Bill Scarron will line to third, single to left. And a ground ball, one hop back to the pitcher. Donovan up with it. Goes to Seavers for the out. And Donovan just did get his glove up in time, or the Moose would have had another base hit. It was hit well. So the first two men that Donovan faced hit right back to the box, two away. And here's Cletus Boyer, who struck out and was hit by a pitch ball. Two out, nobody on. Pitch to Boyer, line to center field, a base hit. Landis up with the ball on two hops, and Boyer's on with a solid single to center. First hit off Donovan, and the fourth hit for the Yankees in the ballgame. And here's Bobby Richardson, who delivered a clutch single in the third inning, rather the fifth inning, to drive in two. He also lined a third in the third inning. Seavers holding first against Boyer. Here's a stretch by Donovan. Pitch to Richardson is low. Ball one. The stretch. A 1-0 pitch is taken low. Ball two. 2-0. No strikes. Boyer leading off. The pitch to Richardson on the inside corner. Strike one. 2-1. Looks like Boyer has got a good lead and that he might be going, but does a pretty good job of bluffing. Here's a stretch. Throw to first, and that time it looked like Boyer was ready to go. And Donovan set. There goes Boyer. The ball is hit on the ground at third. Right past Freeze to left field. Boyer's around second, digging for third. And Richardson holds up as he rounds first base. And let's see if that's a base hit. Freeze got through the ball, but it is a base hit. Richardson gets his second single to left field. But Gene Freeze turned his head away and just stuck his glove. Oh, about 6 inches from the ground, hoping it would bounce up. The Yankees have runners at first and third now with two out. And here's Jim Coates, who bounced to first and then hit a single, driving in two runs in the fifth inning. Richardson and Coates have driven in the four runs for the Yankees today. Yankees lead 4-1. Bobby leads off first, Boyer off third. Time is called. Coates was digging in too long, and Donovan was taking too much time out on the mound. Here's the stretch. Pitch outside, ball one. Leaning over to get the sign. And again, Coates asks for time and steps out of the box. So now Donovan wants to talk with Sherm Lalov. And they seem to be having a little trouble getting together on the signals. Talking things over out of the pitcher's box. Got things squared away, and Lalov comes back. One ball, no strikes on Coates. Two outs. Boyer at third, Richardson at first. Mr. Coates has swung at and missed. Strike one, one on. In the stretch. Pitch inside. Ball two, two and one. The stretch. There goes Richardson. The ball is lying in left field. Another base hit for Coates. The run scores. Richardson pulls up at third. The ball hits off his elbow, goes into the dugout. And Richardson will score, and Coates moves all the way over to third base. Another single by Jim Coates. Another RBI for Coates. Richardson scores on the error, and we'll wait and see who gets the error. Also gets the error on the throw, which is a tough break for Minnie because it was a good throw, but it hit Richardson off the elbow and kicked into the dugout. Here's Kubek with Coates at third. Look out! Wow, right over our heads that time. One strike on Kubek. So Coates has driven in three runs. Richardson has driven in two. Bobby has scored twice, as has Cletus Boyer. Darren scored the other run. Coates leads off third. The pitch to Kubek, line of left field. There's a base hit. And Coates scores. And the Yankees now lead 7-1. So after two were out, the Yankees have put together four straight singles for three runs. And they lead 7-1. Hector Lopez, bounced to third, struck out, hit back to the box. Kubek at first, the pitch to Lopez, low, ball one. Coates has really developed into a good hitting pitcher. Curve outside, ball two, two and nothing. Yankees were shut out for the first four innings and picked up four in the fifth and three here in the sixth. White Sox lone run came in the fourth on a homer by Minoso. There's a foul back out of play. One strike on Hector. The pitch is low, ball three. Frank Baumann is up in the White Sox bullpen. Three and one on Lopez with two outs. Kubek at first base. Is hit high in the air to short left field. Aparicio back. Minoso in. Minoso calling for it and makes the catch. For the Yankees in the top of the sixth, three runs on four hits. One White Sox error, one man left. The score at the end of five and a half innings, The Yankees 7 and the White Sox 1. Sixth inning, the top of the White Sox batting order. Looking at Coates for the third time. Louis Aparicio walked top to third. Yankees lead 7-1. Pitch to Louis on the inside corner, strike one. Side, ball one, one and one. On deck, Nellie Fox. High inside, Aparicio falls way back out of the way. Laps at his bat. Picks up some dirt. Balls and one strike. The windup, the pitch, inside, ball three, 3-1. Aparicio trying to get on first base. Trying to work his way on, base on balls. Crouching at the plate, the 3-1 pitch. In there, strike two. Full count, 3-2. The payoff pitch is hit deep to left center field. Way back there. And it's a home run for Aparicio. I think we're going to get him once more. Yeah. As Louis Aparicio gets his first home run of the year and his 16th run batted in, it's now a 7-2 ball game. Both runs against Coates have come off homers. Minoso had one in the fourth inning. Here's Nellie Fox, who's 0-2. Bounced a short fly to center. Smoke is clearing away from the fireworks, drifting over the ballpark. Fox wants to stop the shadow from the smoke from the firecrackers. Just drifted over the pitcher's box in home plate. Now they're gone. Pitch to Nellie is in there. Strike one call. Nobody out here in the top of the sixth, rather the bottom of the sixth. The Yankees lead 7-2. Change up line to center field, a base hit. Jim Coates tried to change up on Nellie Fox. And here's Minnie Minoso. Minoso struck out and homered. Out in the bottom of the sixth inning. Throw to first. Fox is back. Ball one inside. Jim Coates checking the sign from Elston Howard. Big right-hander set. There's a line to the left. And it's in there for a base hit. Off Lopez's chest. Fox is coming in to third. And Fox is out at third base. Fox tried to go from first to third. On a line single to left by Minoso as the ball bounced off Lopez's chest on one hop. But Hector picked it up and fired a strike to third baseman Cletus Boyer, who made an easy tag. And Nellie Fox was mad. He knew he made a bad play. Fox hesitated as he rounded second, and that's what kept him from making it. Al Lopez is arguing with plate umpire Cal Drummond about something. I don't know what he could be arguing about. Lopez arguing with the home plate umpire. Maybe he wanted Drummond to be out there for the play as Frank Yumont had gone out in case the ball had gotten by Hector Lopez as Lopez tried to make a shoestring catch. But then Yumont came charging in and he was close enough to the play and the ball got there in plenty of time before Fox. And now Lopez is going to go down and argue with Frank Yumont. Telling him he was probably out of position to see the play. So we got a little rhubarb going down at third base. And as a matter of fact, it was Lopez and Yumont at Yankee Stadium who had the argument, and Yumont threw Lopez out of the game. And Al continues to stay out there. Now he starts towards the White Sox dugout. And I'm sure the fans don't know why he was arguing with both umpires, but they enjoy a good rhubarb. All right, here's Roy Sievers, struck out line to third. Minoso is at first with one out. It's a 7-2 ball game in the bottom of the sixth. Pitch to Sievers, a curve over strike one call. Here's the stretch by Coach. Pitch is over, strike two call, nothing in two. Bobby Shantz is warming up in the Yankee bullpen. And Frank Baumann, the left-hander, still loosening up in the White Sox bullpen. Nothing in two on Sievers. Minoso leading off first. Pitch is just outside, ball one. Stretch. The pitch is popped in the air to right center field. Roger Maris moving in under it and makes the catch. That's two away. brings up Gene Freeze, who twice fly to center field. Two men out. One run in. The Yankees lead 7-2, bottom of the sixth. Here's the stretch. The pitch to Freeze is hit foul at the plate, strike one. One strike on Freeze. Manny Minoso leading off first base. Here's the stretch. Pitch is popped in the air to short right field. Roger Maris moving under it now and makes the catch. He lost that ball momentarily in the sun. Had a weightless, came out of the sun, then charged in for the White Sox in the bottom of the sixth. One run on three base hits. No Yankee errors and one man left to score at the end of six full innings. The Yankees 7 and the White Sox 2. Take a look at the scoreboard, and Boston defeated Cleveland 7-1 in the first game. Mon Bouquet the winner, Perry the loser. Mal Zone, Ted Williams, and Gary Geiger home it for the Red Sox. In the second game, Boston nothing, Cleveland batting in the bottom of the first. Brewer against Bell. Baltimore leads Detroit 1-0 at the end of 6.5. Wilhelm against Bunning. Washington leads Kansas City 3-0 at the end of 3. Lee against Trowbridge. In the National League, it's Cincinnati 4 and the Cubs 3 at the end of 7. Thomas and Lynch have homered in that game. Milwaukee 2 and St. Louis 2 at the end of 6.5. And Pittsburgh at L.A. and Philadelphia San Francisco start later on. And in just a very few seconds, with the White Sox coming in to change pitches, Frank Baumann coming on to take over for Dick Donovan. Baumann will be the fourth White Sox pitcher of the day. They started with Bob Shaw, then Turk Lown, Dick Donovan, and now Frank Baumann. And the Yankees leading 7-2. Mel Allen will be coming over right after we pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial, your station for music, news, and sports in the Capital District of Albany, Schenectady, and Troy. WOKO, serving you with the best of everything. Time on the WOKO clock in 10 seconds will be 4:31.
Hello there, everybody. First half of the seventh inning. Mickey Mantle at bat against Frank Baumann. Mickey takes high and inside for a ball. 7-2, New York. Mantle flies to center and walked twice. Baumann's pitch in there for a strike. The 1-1 delivery swung on and missed. Strike two, 1-2. High outside, the next pitch, ball three, 3-2. Full count. Payoff pitch to Mantle. Upside for ball four. He walks for the third straight time. The 52nd walk for Mickey. Now Roger Maris, who popped to third, grounded to first, and popped to short. Yank 7, White Sox 2. Bauman checks Mickey. The pitch to Raj is inside for a ball. Dick Donovan worked one inning, giving up four hits and three runs, giving up four singles after retiring the first two men. Mantle moves away from first. Bauman with a stretch and the pitch. It's over. Strike one. One and one. A 1-1 count. Frank Bauman delivers to Maris, who swings and foul tips it. Strike two. One and two. Two delivery. Here it is. Swung on a little roller, hits the third. Priest up with it. Plays to second base in time. Aparicio taking the throw. Mantle forced at second. Priest to Aparicio. Maris safe at first. Hits the ball right off the end of the bat. Now coming up is Elston Howard. Flied to right center. Was safe on a throwing error by Priest and hit to the box. The pitch to Howard, right over, strike one. We don't know the second game pitches for certain. Probably Russ Kemmerer and Duke Moss. The pitch to Howard swung on and missed, strike two. Ralph Terry had originally been announced. But Ralph, somehow or other, suffered a slight ligament sprain in his right knee. The pitch to Howard swung on and missed, strike three. Two men down the seventh inning. And Bill Scarron's coming to bat. He lined the third, single to left, and hit to the box. Frank Bauman into the stretch. Checks Maris, moving off first, delivers to Moose Low, ball one. Ball, no strikes. Move to first. Maris is back. Maris moving off further. The pitch to Scarron is low. Two balls, no strikes. Bauman may develop into quite a pitcher under Al Lopez tutelage. He was got quite a handsome bonus to sign with the Red Sox. The pitch is swung on and fouled off. With the combination of being a bonus player and having to go into service and not getting into tip-top playing condition cost him consistent success with the Red Sox, and so they traded him away. But he's got good stuff. Two balls, one strike. Now the delivery, high and away, ball three. His prime problem has been wildness. Two down. And the 3-1 pitch is outside for ball four. Scarron walks. Down to second goes Maris. And coming up is Cleet Boyer. Struck out, was hit by a pitched ball, and singled to center. At the outside part of the plate. Fastball tails away from a right-hand hitter. Next pitch to Boyer. Swung on as a bouncer to Aparicio is up with it. Tosses on to Seavers, retiring Boyer and the Yankees. No runs, no hits, no errors. Two men left on. At the end of 6.5 innings, New York 7, Chicago 2. And the throng out here today rises for the 7th inning stretch. Why don't you get in the kitchen and stretch your hand into that refrigerator and get yourself a you-know-what. Some of that crisp for pressure, Ballantine beer. Refresh. A beer must have lightness plus flavor. I know you know that. Of course, the folks at Ballantine know that. And that's what they got. Lightness and flavor. Ballantine proves to more people every day that a beer can be light and still give you all the lager beer flavor you want. Fact is, Ballantine's the light beer with true lager flavor. This delicious light lager flavor is what makes Ballantine beer the crisp refresher. So if you drink beer for taste and refreshment, then Ballantine's the beer for you. Try it and see for yourself why Ballantine's the most popular beer from Maine to Florida, the largest selling beer in the East. The last half of the 7th inning, Al Smith coming up. Lawler on deck and Landis to follow. Yankees 7, White Sox 2. Smith walked and lined to center. They've hit some pretty good shots off Coates in this game. The pitch is in there for a strike. Slim Jim to the windup and the pitch. Breaking stuff over, strike two, nothing in two. Two strikes. Coach to the windup fires away and it hits the bat and skips off to the right of the plate. Count remains two strikes. Strike count on Smitty. And the pitch is swung on and fouled off to the left of the plate. Bob Rush is warming up for the White Sox and Bob Turley for New York. No balls, two strikes. And the pitch. Swung on, line down the left field line, and it is a fair ball into the corner. Lopez chasing it. Smitty goes for two. He rounds second and holds up with a double to left. Al Smith lines a double into the left field corner for the sixth hit off Coates. And once again, Bobby Shantz gets up to warm up. This has not been one of Coates' better performances, despite the fact that the White Sox up to now have only gotten two runs, but they both were scored on homers. They've been hitting a lot of line drives. Here's Sherm Lawler, lined to second into a double play and single to left. They pitched to Lawler in there for a strike. He took the speed off that pitch. White Sox are sort of, for the most part, sitting back waiting on that fastball. Jim Coates delivers. Lawler swings and lifts a pop foul. Off the left of the plate, Howard getting under it. He's got it. Lawler fouls out to Howard. Now it's Jim Landis, who lined the third and plied the left. And Ted Kwiatkowski is coming out and will pinch hit for Frank Baumann. Al Smith on second, one away. With a good lead. They pitched to Landis, swung on and missed. Strike one, he was leveling. He was going for the long one. Coach delivers. Landis takes a curve over. Strike two. Balls, two strikes. Smith moves away from second base. The stretch by Coates and the pitch. Fastball line down the left field line for a base hit. Smith rounds third, comes in to score. The throw goes to second. Landis holds it first, and it's 7-3. Teeing off on the fastball, and here now is Kwiatkowski to hit for Frank Baumann. Big clue up there with one away as the right White Sox rallying here in the seventh. They got three hits off Coach last inning. They have two so far this inning. To the stretch, and the pitch to Kwiatkowski. Outside, ball one. Howard didn't like the call. Moves off first. Pitch to Clue, swung on and popped up. Howard under it, and he's got it. Two away, and now Louis Aparicio, who walked, fouled a third, and hit a home run on the 3-2 pitch. His first of the year. Corsetti hollers out to Bory to remind him of Louis' ability to punt. You have to defend against it whether he punts or not. The delivery swung on, bounced out towards second. Richardson up with it, steps on second for the force out, and the side's retired. The ball is bounced over the pitcher's head right over towards second, and Bobby went over and gloved it and stepped on second. One run, two hits, no errors, and one left on. At the end of seven innings, the Yankees, seven runs, seven hits, no errors, six left on. Chicago, three runs, seven hits, two errors, and four men left on. How about trying some of that Ballantine? Wouldn't a tall, foaming glass of the Crisp Refresher go pretty good right now? Treat your taste of the Crisp Refresher, Ballantine beer. Bob Rush is coming in to pitch. While Rush is coming in, we'll take a quick look at the Ballantyne scoreboard. Boston beat Cleveland 7-1. The second game, scoreless end of two. Baltimore leading Detroit 2-0. They're playing the last of the ninth inning. Washington 6, Kansas City 0, 10-4.5. In the National League, Cincinnati beat the Cubs 4-3 in the first game. The Cardinals leading Milwaukee 4-2 at the end of 7.5. Philadelphia and San Francisco scoreless at the end of an inning and a half. Pittsburgh at Los Angeles have not yet gotten underway. Bob Rush made his first appearance for the White Sox yesterday. He went 2 2/3 innings, gave up five hits and three runs, including homers to Mantle and Maris. 35-year-old right-hander. Stands 6'5". He's relieving Frank Bauman. Bauman worked the seventh. Walked two men, struck out one, didn't allow any runs, didn't allow any hits. Shaw, Lown, Donovan, Bauman, and now Rush. Bobby Richardson, hitting eighth in the order, leads off. Coates to follow, and then Tony Kubek. Richardson lined the third, single to left twice, driven in two runs. Bob Rush's pitch in there, strike one. Rush's next pitch is a changeup outside. Ball one, one and one. The 1-1 delivery. Richardson fouls it off, checking his swing. Ball glanced off into the stands behind the plate. Right-hander of the windup, the overhand delivery, swung on, foul tipped into the mitt, strike three, and he's out. Here comes Jim Coates, grounded to first, singled twice, and is driven in three runs. Comes up with a .346 batting average. Rush is 6'5". Bob's delivery. Inside and gets between the batter and catcher to the screen. One ball, no strikes.
chopping pitch on its way. High ball two. The 2-0 pitch swung on and missed strike one. He really took a good cut. The 2-1 pitch on its way to Jim Coates. Look out. Ball three high and inside. 3-1. Three balls, one strike. Eighth inning. Rush into the windup. In comes the pitch, and it's over. Strike two. Full count. Here's the payoff pitch on its way. Jim Coates swings and misses. Strike three. Bob Rush coming on, striking out the first two men. Now here's Tony Kubek. Grounded to second twice. Bunted toward third, but into a force play and single to left. Rush delivers to Tony. Curveball inside, ball one. Nothing pitch to the left-hand hitter. Swung on, looped into left field. Minosa waiting and takes it for the out. Sides retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And at the end of 7.5 innings of play, the score remains New York 7, Chicago 3. You know, when it comes to having a favorite team that you root for, just a matter of preference. It's always interesting to find out why somebody roots for a team. Sometimes it's where your grandparents live. Sometimes it's because you like a certain guy on a certain team. But whatever. I'm sure many of you have a preference as to the type of glass you like your beer served in. That's a matter of personal taste. What counts is what's in the glass. And there's one beer that delivers top taste and refreshment in any glass. The Crisp Refresher Valentine Beer. That golden Valentine is mighty refreshing. And when it comes to flavor, Valentine's the light beer with true lager flavor. Proves the beer can be truly light and still give you all the downright delicious lager beer flavor you want. That's why Valentine beer is the Crisp Refresher. So enjoy the one beer that tastes great anytime in any glass. Light, delicious Valentine beer. The Crisp Refresher. The last half of the eighth inning. Nelson Fox up. Minosa and Severs to follow. Fox grounded to short, fly to center and single to center. Jim Coates delivers. In there for a strike. That was a half-speed pitch. They've been taking that and swinging on his fastball. Apparently, it's lost some of its steam or is not moving. Coates again delivers. Swung on, grounded into the hole. Richardson can't get it. It's through into right field for a base hit. And Fox opens the eighth with a single. The White Sox have been getting two Coates. Gave up two hits over the first five innings. Three in the sixth, two in the seventh, and one so far in the eighth. And the Yankee bullpen gets a call again.
as Manny Minosa comes up. Struck out, hit a home run, and single to left.
WOKO Albany, 5 o'clock.
White Sox now about hit the Yankees, 8-7. Jim Coates in with the stretch. Pitch to Minosa. Swung on, grounded to Boyer, over to Richardson for one, back on to first. Double play. Manny went after that first pitch and grounds into a double play. Boyer to Richardson to Scarron. Yankees' 57th double play, or 58th double play, they made two in this game. Here's Roy Sievers. Struck out, lined to third, and flied to right center. Yanks 7, Sox 3, 8th inning. Coats into his windup, and the pitch is inside, ball one. The 1-0 delivery. Fastball inside, ball two. Up and the pitch outside, ball three. Three balls, no strikes. Coach to the windup. 3-0 pitch inside for ball four, and he walks. And the batter now is Gene Freese. Third walk given up by Coates. Freese flied to right center, lined to center, and flied to right. Freese up and Al Smith on deck. Turley and Shantz are warming up for New York. Coats ready. And the pitch. Swung on. There's a fly ball into center. Mantle moves in under it. Makes the catch to retire the side. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on. At the end of 8 innings, New York 7 runs, 7 hits, no errors, 6 left on. The White Sox 3 runs, 8 hits, 2 errors, and 5 men left on base. Looking at the Valentine scoreboard in the American League, Boston beat Cleveland the first game 7-1. Mon Bouquet beat Perry. Home runs, Malzone, Williams of 2 on, and Geiger. Number 501 for Ted. Second game, scoreless, end of 3, Brewer and Bell. Baltimore 2, Detroit nothing. Tigers batting in the last of the ninth. Wilhelm pitching for Baltimore. And the game is just over. Baltimore won it 2-0. 2 runs, 8 hits, no errors. Detroit, no runs, 2 hits, and no errors. Two-hitter for Wilhelm. Bunning the loser. Morgan relieved in the 8th. Hanson homered in the 9th. First game of 2. In a single game, the Senators 6. Kansas City nothing. 10-5.5. I mean by that, they're not playing a doubleheader. Lee for Washington. Cooks for Kansas City. Trowbridge in the 2nd. Kiley in the 6th. National League, Cincinnati beat the Cubs in the first game, 4-3. O'Toole beat Hobby. The 14th homer for Thomas had one on. Lynch had one with one on. Second game, Ellsworth and McLish. First game, Cardinals 4, Braves 2, end of 8.5. Simmons relieved by Broglio in the 7th. And for the Braves, Warren Spahn. Pittsburgh at Los Angeles, it'll be Danielson Koufax. Bills and Giants scoreless, end of 2, Roberts and Odell. Hector Lopez takes the ball inside as we go to the 9th inning. Bob Rush, the 5th White Sox pitcher. Lopez grounded to 3rd, struck out, hit to the box, flied to left. Takes a fastball high for ball 2. 2 balls, no strikes. Mantle on deck and Maris to follow. Big Bob ready. The pitch to Hector. In there for the strike. A 2-1 count. Now the 2-1 pitch to the right-hand batter. Swung on and fouled back out of play, and we pause for station identification.
You are tuned to 1460 on the radio dial. This is your station for music, news, and sports. WOKO, Albany. Time on the WOKO clock is 6 minutes after 5. Present temperature is 78 degrees.
Two balls, two strikes. And the 2-2 pitch. In there, called strike three, and Hector knew it. He went right away from the plate. Three strikeouts out of the four hitters Rush's face. Mickey Mantle coming up, flying to center, and has walked three times. Roger Maris on deck. Bob Rush to his windup, and the pitch. High, ball one. The 1-0 pitch. Mantle takes inside, ball two. Here's the 2-0 pitch on its way. Mickey takes very high, ball three, 3-0. Nothing delivery. Swung on, grounded his second. Up with it is Fox. Throws on to Severs, and Mantle's retired. He got a green light, but grounds out to second. Roger Maris popped to third, grounded to first, popped to short, and grounded to third. Two away in the 9th inning. Rush delivers to Maris. Inside, ball one. The 1-0 pitch to Raj. Swung on. There's a bouncer to second. Fox up with it. Throws to Severs. Maris is retired, and so are the Yankees. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And at the end of 8.5 innings, New York 7, Chicago 3. In the last half of the 9th inning, Smith, Lawler, and Landis are the scheduled batters for Chicago. Right now, let's look at the lighter side of baseball. Take the story about a fielder who really got the bird while trying to snag a fly. Happened during a night game. When the batter lofted a high fly out to right field, looked like an easy out until a Nighthawk that had been perched in the stands swooped down, pecked at the ball, deflected it over the astonished fielder's head. And of course, the runner wound up with a double, and that led to the winning run. Actually happened. The fielder probably brought a shotgun with him to the game after that. And here's something else on the lighter side. The story on the crisp refresher, Ballantine beer. Ballantine's the light beer with true lager flavor. It proves a beer can be truly light and still give you all that honest-to-goodness lager beer flavor you want. Enjoy it. Just ask the man for frosty cold Ballantine beer, the crisp refresher. Now to the last half of the ninth inning. Al Smith leads off. He walked, lined to center, and doubled to left. Jim Coates goes to the windup, and the pitch to Smitty is low and inside, ball one. Jim pitched a fine first five innings, but he's been in trouble the last three innings. The 1-0 pitch, swung on line, but foul down the left field line, out of play. Strike one, 1-1. One strike. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Low ball two. 2-1. Coach into the windup, and the 2-1 delivery. High ball three. The count on Al Smith. And the 3-1 pitch. It's inside, ball four, and Smith walks. Four walks given up by Coates, and the bullpen gets to going. As Sherman Lawler comes to bat, he lined to second into a double play, single to left, and fouled out to the catcher. Pitch to Lawler. Outside for a ball. Chance and Turley warming up now. And the pitch to Lawler. In there, strike one, 1-1. Ready. Here's the pitch. And it's low, ball two. Two balls, two strikes. All right, check that. Here's the pitch. Swung on, there's a drive into deep right. Maris going back. Now he moves in and makes the catch. One away, and Jim Landis is coming up. He lined to third, fly to left, and single to left. Pitching to Jim Landis, and the delivery is in there for a strike. Earl Torgerson is out on deck to hit for Rush. Landis lined to third, fly to left, single to left. Smith leads off first. Coach delivers. Landis takes it outside for a ball, 1-1. One 2-1 pitch to Landis. Swung on, fouled off on the ground over to the White Sox dugout. A 1-2 count. Gets Howard signed. Smith leads away from first. Now the pitch, and Landis takes the ball on a changeup, 2-2. A stretch by Coach. Smith off first. The 2-2 pitch. Look out, ball three sailed high and inside. Full count. Full count on Landis. Al Smith ready to go. The pitch is swung on and missed. Smith didn't go. Strike three. Smith started and held up. And now Earl Torgerson comes up to hit for Bob Brush. Three strikeouts for Coach. He's done a good pinch hitting job for the White Sox. Left hand batter. Coach delivers in there for a strike. He's had 5 out of 13 as a pinch hitter for a 385 average. Batting 286 overall on the season. Jim Coach delivers. A changeup is swung on, hit back through the middle for a base hit. Smith turns second, goes on to third. And Torgy has 6 for 14 as a pinch hitter. Now Louis Aparicio steps up. A fox on deck. Walked, fouled a third, hit a home run, and grounded out to second. Here's the delivery. Outside, ball one. Pitches. Louis swings. It's a base hit to right field. Smith scores, and Targi stops at second. And it's 7-4. And Nelson Fox coming up. With Manny Mendoza on deck. They got the tying run to plate. Nelson Fox has had 2 for 4. Times call. Aparicio is talking to Gutteridge. Jim Coates to the stretch. The pitch to Fox. In there for a strike. On second. Aparicio on first. Coach delivers, and Fox starts to bunt, takes it for a ball, one and one. He wants to get on, of course, naturally. Get Minnie up there. Two men lead away. Now the pitch. Swung on, hit in the right field for a base hit. Here comes Ferguson to score. Aparicio will score. And Fox, Aparicio stops at third. On a double by Fox. And it's 7-5 for the tying runs in scoring position. And singles out of the dugout. Nelson Fox, double to right. They held Aparicio up at third. He started to come home, but they held him up. And so the tying runs are in scoring position and the winning run at the plate. And Bob Turley gets the call. Jim Coates went 8 2/3 innings. Giving up 11 hits. Walked 4, struck out 3. And so the Yankees' 7-1 lead is now 7-5, and the tying runs are in scoring position, and the winning run at the plate. Turley is coming in. Nelson Fox getting his 11th double and 28th run batted in. Jim Coates started to run out of gas in the 6th inning, gave up 3 hits. 2 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, and a walk and 3 hits here in the 9th. Manosa the batter and Seavers on deck. This will be Bob Turley's 11th appearance. Now Jim Coates leads. Warming up. So this giant throng have had something to holler about here in the 9th inning. With 2 outs, 3 straight base hits to put the White Sox right back into the thick of it. A home run will win it, a base hit will tie it. We're set to go, and here's Minnie Minosa. Struck out, homered, single to left, and grounded to third. Sox leading RBI man's at the plate. Runners lead away from second and third. The windup, the pitch, outside, ball one. Slashing. Journey to the windup and the pitch to Minoso. High ball two. Aparicio on third, Fox on second. Minnie digs in. Journey into the windup, and the pitch swung on. Howard moving over towards the stand, and he's got it. The ball game's over. And Minoso, when Howard threw the mask away to go after the foul ball, the mask which Howard threw away hit Minoso in the face. One of those odd accidents. The game is over. Minoso fouls out, but as Howard ran after the ball, he took the mask and slung it, and it accidentally hit Minnie in the face. Two runs for Chicago, three hits, no errors, two left on. Meantime, at home plate, they're checking Minnie. Howard is in there and apologizing to him. When the ball was fouled off, Ellie just slung the mask off, as they normally do, going after the ball, and just happened to hit Minnie right on the mouth. And he gets up now and is walking off. One of those crazy accidents. Seems that it hit him on the lips. And so, crazy ending to a ball game that wound up with all the excitement you could want, as the Yankees, who were leading 7-1, barely hung on here to win it 7-5. And here are the totals. The Yankees, 7 runs, 7 hits. They got all their runs and hits in two innings, the fifth and sixth. No errors, 6 left on. Chicago, 5 runs, 11 hits, 2 errors, and 7 men left on base. Jim Coates is the winning pitcher. He's won 8 and lost none, 2-0 against Chicago this year. 12 consecutive wins for Coates, counting his last 4 last year. And with the Yankees, he now won 14 and lost 1. Today, he was very sharp over the first 5 innings, but over the last 4, or 4 2/3, with Turley coming in to relieve him, he gave up a total of 9 base hits and 4 runs. The losing pitcher is Bob Shaw, with a record of 5-7 now, 0-2 against New York. The White Sox won the first 4 games against the Yankees this year, and the Yankees have won the last 6 from Chicago.
Well, that wraps up the first game of this afternoon's doubleheader from Comiskey Park in Chicago, brought to you by P. Valentine & Sons of Newark, New Jersey, and the Atlantic Refining Company and your neighborhood Atlantic dealer.